The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
We hear all the bad news, but you know, God is doing some amazing things today as well, even among the young people.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, coming your way again from Christ for the Nations in Dallas, 866-348-7884. Those who are watching might notice maybe my eyes a little teary. Right before the show, I was sitting with a brother looking at a powerful testimony from a child from during the Brownsville Revival in 1995. And nothing touches me more deeply than seeing a child get touched by God. There's something very sacred, very precious about it. I'm sure many of you feel the same way. A child, a teen, profoundly touched by God and weeping before him or crying out to him or burdened for their peers or their schools or just loving Jesus. Something very sacred about that. And I'm going to play a clip for you on the show today that is very intense. It is a compilation that was put together many years ago of little children praying and crying out and confessing to God their hearts. I'm going to play it pretty early in the show today, but we're not going to focus on all the bad stuff in the world. I'm going to give you some sobering statistics. And tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to look at the aftermath of the sexual revolution, be speaking with an author about an important new book. But as I prayed last night, Lord, which way do we go? You've given us this great time on the air to be with our listeners. You are, in that sense, my radio and online congregation, not as a pastor, but as an audience that I sow into and care about and pray for your well-being and health and strength in the Lord. We're here to see you healthy and thriving so you can fulfill what God's called you to do. We're here to infuse you with faith and truth and courage, to help you have a heart of compassion with a backbone of steel. As I said many times, we won't get your blood boiling unless we also get your faith rising. So I want to put that emphasis on faith rising today because, look, think of it for a minute. When you watch the news or listen to the news or read the news, it's overwhelmingly negative, right? Some things are just reports, factual reports that are neutral, but most of what's being reported is bad stuff. And all the tragedies and all the calamities and all the world crises. You think if you lived a few hundred years ago, you'd know the bad news happening in your family, maybe in your neighborhood. If there was something of national significance over a period of days or weeks, you might find out about it. But otherwise, you were in the world that you lived in and having to deal with the realities of that world. Today, you're having to deal with all kinds of realities, of all kinds of horrific things. Every moment, every murder, every rape, not every single one, but a bombardment of reports and world crises, and this is going to explode, and this is going to end, and political cutthroat stuff, and the latest scandal, and salacious story, and that's what gets clicks and eyeballs and things like that. But it's not edifying for the spirit. It's not going to build your faith. It's not going to encourage you to fix the problem or help fix the problem. If anything, it's just going to make you anxious, depressed, hopeless, cynical, skeptical, throw in the towel. So that's not why we're here. We will talk about what's happening in the world. Absolutely. We will talk about these things, but in a way that gives you a solution, in a way that gives you hope. And today, I want to focus on what God is doing among young people. Now, if you'd like to talk to me about any other subject, as we do most days, I'm going to open the phones and you could call me on any subject under the sun. Anything I've talked about on the air, anything we've posted online, an article I've written, something you heard me say in a book somewhere, in a message somewhere, anything you want to talk about that intersects in any way with The Line of Fire, phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. But first, we're going to focus on the kids, on the young people. Let me read this to you. Matthew 21, beginning verse 12. Jesus, so this is shortly before his crucifixion, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. By the way, the word Hosanna in Greek comes from Hebrew Hoshiana, which basically means, oh, save, as in save the king or save your people. But then it became a word of praise. So Hosanna, then coming into Greek, Hosanna, it actually became a word of praise. So the children are shouting. Think of this, little children. You're trying to have a dignified religious service, dignified worship of God. This man's supposed to be the Messiah. He's creating an uproar. He's driving out the money changers, and he's healing the blind and the lame right there in the temple where there's supposed to be proper decorum. And now little children shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. What is it? Little children, get out of the way here. You're obnoxious. Just be quiet. Jesus, so they said to him, they're indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? I mean, think of that reaction. What a reaction. Why are they mad about that? Reminds me, a pastor in Colorado told me earlier this year when I ministered for him, that he was pastoring a church, a large, successful church, and God started moving and prayer started breaking out and was very different than the traditions they were used to. And one of the elders came to him upset and said, people are praying day and night at all hours of the day and night. They were upset instead of, this is wonderful. So isn't this wild that religious leaders can be that set on decorum and proper procedure and do it our way or no way, our way or the highway, right? Do you hear what these children are saying? Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, Lord, you have called forth your praise, quoting from Psalm 8. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. God has ordained praise in the lips of children. Now, I fully understand that children can be children. They can be at a service, and maybe Pentecostal charismatic service people are, you know, jumping and dancing, and the kids are jumping and dancing. They don't understand what's going on. They're jumping and dancing. Well, that's fine. If everyone's sitting and they're sitting, that's fine. If they like to jump and dance when everyone else is jumping and dancing, they're 3 years old, that's fine. But many of them, especially as they get older, they're encountering the Lord, and they're worshiping the Lord in their own way. And they're praying and seeking his face. So things are happening among young people today more than we might realize. Before I give you the good news, here's some bad news, all right? And this is in my article yesterday, The Youth Awakening in America Has Begun. So 2018, George Barna, in his surveys, reported that, quote, more than any other generation before them, Gen Z does not assert a religious identity. They might be drawn to things spiritual, but with a vastly different starting point from previous generations, many of whom received a basic education on the Bible and Christianity, and it shows the percentage of Gen Z that identifies as atheist is double that of the U.S. adult population. That's not good news at all. An article on Logos.com quoting from the kaleidoscope effect, what emerging generations seek in leaders, said this: whereas 85% of the silent generation born 1928 to 1945 call themselves Christians, just 56% of today's younger millennials born 1990 to 1996 do the same, even though the vast majority, about 8 in 10, were raised in religious homes. Over the past 70 years, each successive generation has included fewer and fewer Christians, and the overwhelming majority of the Christians remaining today are over the age of 35. That's not a good sign. That is absolutely not a good sign. The same article notes that, quote, according to Springtide Research's The State of Religion in Young People, their report, nearly 40% of young people ages 13 to 25 indicate that they are unaffiliated, whether agnostic, atheist, or nothing in particular. Some more bad news. According to a 2021 Barna poll, nearly 40% of U.S. Gen Zs, 30% of young Christians identify as LGBTQ. Gallup poll put the numbers about half of that, but either way, tremendously significant, even though only a very small percentage of the people involved were actually engaged in same-sex activity. They identified as somewhere in the spectrum because this is their point of solidarity. This is their point of being against the status quo. This is the in some cases, the cool, or trendy thing to do. So this is deeply entrenched. In my newest book, Why So Many Christians Have Left the Faith, I even talk about that, there's a chapter, if gay is good, the church is bad. In other words, if your perception is, hey, it's cool to be gay, or we always side with the trans kids and we take their point of view, or we're going to identify as queer because that's just kind of the thing to do now, and it violates the gender binary of everything being male, female, whatever it is, if that's your point of solidarity and you understand, well, the church is against it, now the church is bad, and the Bible is bad, and God is bad. So this is a lot of what we're up against. And many young people have been raised in churches that have not seen a real move of God, a real outpouring in many, many years. And remember what happened to the children of Israel. You say, Mike, I thought you could encourage us. Oh, I'm going to, but I'm a realist. I'm just painting a picture of where things are at. Remember the children of Israel, the end of Joshua 24. It tells us that the children of Israel served the Lord as long as Joshua and the elders were alive who had experienced God for themselves. And then after that, they fell away. Why? Because they didn't have leaders in their midst who had encountered God in that same way. Hence by saying every generation in Israel must have a fresh encounter with God. One thing that I found in common with a number of former Christians that I interviewed, interacted with, debated, dialogued with, not all of them, but the vast majority, when I spoke to them and asked them, tell me about an experience you had when you were a Christian that from your vantage point back then was completely miraculous. From your vantage point back then, God intervened. God supernaturally spoke or acted or answered a prayer. And the only explanation you had back then was God. Give me an example of one of those. And then how do you explain it today? With rare exception, none of them could give me an example. Why? Because they had not experienced God that way in their own lives. Of course, they're going to fall away under pressure or temptation or intellectual doubt. No surprise. All right, we'll be right back. I'm going to play the clip for you. Take your calls, 866-348-7884.
Chronic inflammation is the greatest health threat to humanity. Infections, injuries, toxins, poor diet, and chronic stress can attack your immune system and lead to chronic inflammation. But now there's a solution you can fight this dangerous silent killer with. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated, at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
Let's hear what customers are saying.
I'm a personal trainer and owner of 3 gyms. Super excited, doing a renovation in here, bringing new equipment in. And as I was bringing the new equipment in, I was trying to move a piece. I moved, the equipment didn't move, and I injured myself severely. So it was frustrating. It was really depressing. I wasn't able to work out. I wasn't able to train. I wasn't able to do just normal daily functions. After taking Nopalay, I found that it really helped with my recovery, not only with my severe injury in my back, but it also helped in my recovery of my workouts.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I got to make a quick confession here. I, by God's grace, I can raise up an army, so to say. I can inspire people for a cause. I can motivate them to take a stand for God, call them to leave everything and follow Jesus based on the word. I can do that by God's grace, but I'm not a salesman. You know, I have some colleagues, gifted evangelists, I mean, real soul winners, but you know, they write their latest book and they tell everyone you have to buy the book. And man, you've just got to buy the book. We had a friend with the Lord now. We used to joke, you know, if he was selling you dirty underwear, you'd want to buy it. Just whatever. He had that thing about him. So I'm not wired like that. I'm not this big salesman. So together though, we can help get the Line of Fire across America to reach more and more people. So shout out, thank you to all of our torchbearers, our monthly supporters. A little later in the show, we'll tell you about that and how you can participate. And if you're really enjoying the Trivita products, tell a friend and then tell them to use the Brown25 code. So hopefully you'll enjoy the products. They'll benefit as well. And then it's another way to get support for the broadcast because Trivita is basically taking all profits and just donating them, putting them back into ministry, including 100% of your first order. So if you miss the number, it's 800-771-5584, or go to trivita.com and tell them, no, don't tell the internet anything. Just use the code BROWN25. When you call, tell them I sent you. So anyway, back to the subject at hand. I personally believe, I can't prove it to you, I can't statistically demonstrate it to you, I truly believe that there is an outpouring that has already begun in many parts of America among young people. When I got on the air at the end of January and said the first wave of the next major revival in America has already hit, it has begun, I said it based on faith, what I was sensing in my own heart, and what I was witnessing in many places around America. And of course, it was about 8 days after that the Spirit fell dramatically at Asbury, and suddenly the whole nation's talking about revival. It's like, hey, we told you the first wave is here. This is just a little exclamation point on it. But in virtually all the places where I'm seeing God moving, one of the characteristics is that young people are right at the front of it. Young people flocking after God, young people worshiping, young people praying. In my article, the Youth Awakening in America has already begun. You can read it on our website, askdrbrown.org, or on your Ask Dr. Brown Ministries app. You'll see a picture from Arise Church that Pastor Brent Simpson sent to me. And it was in January, towards the end of January. It was the end of 21 days of prayer and fasting they were doing in the church. It was the final Sunday night service after I preached and called for everyone to just unconditionally yield their lives to the Lord, whatever the cost, whatever the consequence. So massive number of people came forward. I then felt prompted and said, I want every young person there. I want every kid. So from little children up to college age, I want you to join me up here on the platform and stand behind me. And next thing, it was a long platform, but completely, completely packed. And then we started crying out together, and these kids were seeking God. They have to understand that doesn't just happen in a vacuum. Hear what I'm saying? These kids had been moved on already. These kids had been stirred. God was at work in their lives already. They're being discipled well by parents, by leaders in the church ministries, and there's an environment for the Spirit to move. And they were crying out, and I've seen that over and over. God is moving. Something is happening. But I want to take you back. Oh, this goes back probably 20 years, could be even longer. I want you to hear the sounds of children crying out to God. May it stir your heart. May it give you a vision for what can happen even with your kids or grandkids. Let's listen.
Come here! bless you. We don't ask you. We command you to release those that you have. Lord, take us deeper. Take us deeper. Take us into the Holy of Holies, Lord, to where it doesn't matter anymore. To where nothing matters anymore. To where we won't care what we look like in front of the whole church, in front of the whole world. We won't care anymore because we'll be so in love with you. Take this deeper, Lord. Oh, take us deeper, Lord. Take us deeper, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Friends, it's time for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit among the children, the youth of America. And he's going to hear the cries of many desperate, longing, broken hearts. But we'll be right back. Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Brown. I want to invite you to join our support team. Make an investment of $1 a day that will absolutely last forever. You know, the Lord has given us a holy mandate to blanket America with the Line of Fire broadcast. And on a regular basis, we hear from folks writing in, Dr. Brown, I used to be a practicing homosexual. I listened to you. I heard grace and truth together. I was changed. We hear from pastors who say, thank you for speaking with compassion, but giving us backbone and courage. And we know across America, so many believers are getting healthy and strong through listening to the broadcast, through listening to these messages as we tackle the controversies, the most difficult issues of the day. We even hear from former Muslims who've come to faith, from Jewish people who now believe in Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, through this broadcast and our resources. So join our support team. $1 or more per day makes you an official torchbearer. Immediately, you will get access to hundreds of hours of terrific online classes and exclusive video content. Every single month, we'll send you a brand new audio message and along with it, an insider prayer newsletter where we'll talk about the things that are going to be coming in our ministry and share some of the amazing testimonies of the fruit that you are a part of. And when you do sign up, I want to give you two books as a special gift. First, Compassionate Father, a Consuming Fire. Who is the God of the Old Testament? I take the best of my Hebrew and Old Testament scholarship, wrap it together in this book that you'll find eye-opening, answering many of the questions you have. And then Revolution, my classic book that tells you how to wage war the Jesus way, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. We are transformed. We can bring transformation to the nation. So call this number now, 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Say, I'd like to become a torchbearer, or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate Monthly Support.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I hope you were as moved as I was moved to hear those kids crying out. You know, I played the clip for a friend last night, so I just heard it last night. That's what got it on my mind again, and I thought, boy, maybe many years ago I played it on the air, but it's been a long time. I'm going to play it today. So I just heard it last night, but I just got moved, and I thought, okay, I don't mind crying on the air. I have no problem crying on the air. I have no problem if it's hard for me to speak words because of the tears. But this is one time I thought, okay, we got a little break here, a couple minutes, so I can compose myself again. I want to share a comment from a Muslim, former Muslim, in a moment that I think will encourage you. And I'm going to go to the calls shortly, 866-34-TRUTH. We've got a few phone lines open, so if you want to call in with a question or comment of any kind, especially those who disagree with me or take exception to things I say or believe, by all means, you can be nasty to me, but I won't be nasty to you. So go ahead, give us a call, 866-348-7884. And by the way, you think, well, how come I don't put those callers on the air? Because they almost never call. It's not like they're waiting to get on the air and we don't put them on. No, the folks that attack on social media almost never call. But I do want to give you the option to do that so we can have a friendly discussion. But you say, all right, Dr. Brown, I still don't understand why you're convinced that a youth awakening has begun in America. Let me repeat it. It's nothing I can prove to you statistically or even in a survey I've done of pastors, leaders around America. It's something I sense in my spirit. I seem to have some understanding spiritually over the years of the times and seasons that we're in. And we've seen an all-out assault on our kids like never before. A little later, I'm going to read a letter to you that was written by a mother in the Nashville, Tennessee area about drag queen performances for children and how she's raising her voice. There's a big city council meeting tonight, Tuesday night, for those listening live. We can pray for God's best to be done for the city and for the children. The sense that I have is that something's already started. One, I do see it with my own eyes in enough different places. And remember, I've been traveling for years and years and years and haven't seen it on this level for a long time. That gets my attention. I sense in my spirit that the many years of prayer and fasting by the previous generation of young people, those in 24-hour houses of prayer, those in large meetings of people fasting and praying together, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, some cases several hundred thousand, gathering to fast and pray and seek God all day and all night for breakthroughs. I believe that those seeds that have been planted in the ground some over 20 years ago, they are now bearing fruit. And I also know that this young generation has been under such severe attack, growing up with so much uncertainty. Is global warming going to bring an end to the world? Many young people said, I don't want to bring a child into the world if the world's just going to fall apart. The massive political divides in our country, COVID and the fear of death and the questioning of what's going to happen next. You know, is there going to be a nuclear war with Russia or China? What's going to happen? And the sense of uncertainty and fear, when you come with a real message of truth, not hyped up empty, but a real message of truth, the real Jesus and the hope and transformation that he brings, people will come running. Here, if you are living in the midst of a famine and a drought, and you happen to have a massive supply of water and food, and people are literally dying of thirst and starvation, even if they hate your guts, even if they normally wouldn't go on your property, even if they don't like the color of your skin, whatever it is, they'll come flocking because there's food and there's drink. And friends, we have the real deal. And people are being drawn to it because there is no real hope in the world. A friend of mine sent out a link the other day to a Steve Martin song with a group, you know, a cappella singing Atheists Have No Songs. And it's joking about how, you know, the Jews have Havanagila and the Christians have all their hymns and this group has this and that, but atheists have no songs. And it's a funny parody. And I'm not saying this to mock or demean atheists, but the inspiration that the gospel brings and the transformation that the gospel brings and the eternal hope that the gospel brings that's not going to be celebrated in song. Atheism and worldliness and secularism, none of those different things can deliver that. So God is at work. The harvest is ripe. Rather than looking at the glass as half empty, look at it as half full. The harvest is ripe. 866-34-TRUTH. Go into the phones momentarily. So recently I debated Muslim apologist Zakir Hussain, March 20th in London. You can watch the debate on our website, AskDrBrown.org, or again on the Ask Dr. Brown Ministries app. Just click on videos and you can watch it. And Zakir and I, we are now friends and having good private communication. I believe the debate went really well. You know, you can watch for yourself. But I saw this comment by a former Muslim from Pakistan. Dr. Brown, this is in response to the debate. We're so proud of you, and I thank God we have you. I'm so glad you buried Muslims' arguments about Muhammad in the Bible once for all. I'm an ex-Muslim converted Christian from Pakistan, and I can't believe that I used to believe this nonsense. Jesus is Lord, Islam is false. Now, of course, Zakir and other Muslims are very sincere in their beliefs. I pray that God opens their hearts and minds. But we are so blessed to see these things and to hear these testimonies. And when you join our support team, we have all these online classes, prayer and intercessions, angels, intercession, angels, demons, and deliverance, classes on healing. I'm talking about 20, 30-hour classes in some cases, 15-hour classes. You can listen free online as one of our supporters. We have other classes you can watch, exclusive video content, the free books that we send to you when you sign up. So it's our goal to pour back into you as you help hold our hands up to change America through the gospel, to touch the nations, and to see Israel saved. So to join our support team, to become a torchbearer, 800-538-5275 is the number to call. 800-538-5-ASK, A-S-K as in Ask Dr. Brown. Or you can go to the website, askdrbrown.org, click donate, monthly support. Be sure to check out all the benefits that you get for your $1 a day or more investment. And then best of all, you get to share the reward. You get to share in the fruit. And eternally, we're going to be rejoicing at what God did through us together. All right, without further ado, we go to Diane in Kingsport, New York. Thanks for holding and welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello, Diane. I guess Diane could not wait any further. But there's a, okay, let me address a question that was posted here about people allegedly going to heaven, having heavenly visions, experiences, being translated to heaven. In my 2018 book, Playing with Holy Fire, A Wake-Up Call to the Pentecostal Charismatic Church, written by me, a Pentecostal Charismatic, saved in an Italian Pentecostal church in 1971. In that book, I have a whole chapter called To Heaven and Back in a Flash. And in that chapter, I talk about people who can just, at will, it seems, I'm here, I'm in heaven, I'm here, I'm in heaven, I'm here, I'm here. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe it's real. You say, why don't you believe it's real? Well, number one, based on scripture, this is an exceptional thing. This is not the norm. When Paul talks about being caught up to the third heaven in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, he indicates that he heard things there that he can't even share. In other words, it was so sacred. And this to him, it's like, all right, if I want to talk about somebody having revelations, that's the kind of thing I'll talk about. He doesn't say it was him, right? His humility. But it's like, if I want to talk about something that gives me credibility of supernatural revelations, I'll talk about that. So for Paul to make it something exceptional is telling me something very profound. And he also says that he heard things that he couldn't share. So the idea that I can just bounce back and forth, bounce back and forth, bounce back and forth, and have these come with endless heavenly revelation, I'm going to put a big question mark next to that for the first reason I gave. Here's the second reason I gave. Sometimes what's shared is contrary to Scripture. Sometimes what is shared is contrary to Scripture. Now, there are things that are debatable, okay? In other words, there are scriptural passages that are subject to interpretation. If you read 20 different commentaries, you get 10 different views. And there's a Protestant view, a Calvinist view, an evangelical view. There's a Catholic view, a Greek Orthodox view, all these different interpretations. So I'm not talking about whether it's a passage that's in that's disputed, whether Hebrew or the Greek could read one way or another. And someone says they got a heavenly revelation and it's interpretation A, not B, C, D. Okay, well, there's debate over that passage, but I don't go by what the person says they got in heaven. I go to the Word and I study it for myself. And if I end up concluding differently than what they say, I still have to go with the Word and what my study brings me to and as I pray for insight. But when people say things that are blatantly false, that they claim to have gotten heavenly revelation and they speak something that is false, that's the second reason I'm going to disqualify it. So first is just the ease, like bounce back and forth, bounce back and forth. But maybe they're having some kind of spiritual experience and they're being caught up in the presence of the Lord. And now they think that they are somehow in the third heaven. We're seated spiritually. We're seated in heavenly places already, but we're talking about actually being there in a conscious way of interaction with things around you. So they're either misinterpreting what's happening or exaggerating or in some cases just lying. And when I see them coming with stuff that is blatantly contrary to Scripture or with alleged revelation that is contrary to the Word, so I'm going to throw it out for that reason. And then the third thing is, if I don't see someone whose life is radically transformed, that this person walks differently, lives differently, has a certain relationship with God that is transcendent, I'm going to question how much time they've been in the holy place. I'm going to question how much time they've really been in the direct presence of God. You know, one of my former students from years ago, a solid believer, a strong theological mind, he said to me, why is it that some of these people who spend 75% of their time in heaven are so carnal? You'd think, you know, here, if I'm out in the rain for several hours and I come in and I don't have an umbrella and I haven't, and there's not a tree to be found, I'm in a parking lot open with rain pouring down on me. I'm going to come in, I'm going to be soaked head to toe. If there's not a drop of rain on me, you can question whether I've been in the rain. So if someone's allegedly been to heaven that many times, I would expect to see change. Now, I have met some people that speak of heavenly experiences. Maybe during surgery, they were clinically dead and with the Lord, and they were changed by it. Some experienced hell. I know some people that were profoundly changed, and I have no reason to dispute their story, and it's scriptural as well. But don't go for it. You just kind of blink and back and forth and back. I'll be to heaven. Hey, we got a break. I'll go to heaven, come right back. No, it doesn't work like that. We'll be right back.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
I really enjoy being physical. It's something I've just always loved, but I've definitely had times where it's really crippled me up. Being a horse trainer can be pretty physically demanding with all the duties that I have, not just riding horses for a living, saddling horses, caring for the horses. I feel like Nopalea just took the edge off, and then it's continued to keep me from getting sore. Nopalea, it's been a huge blessing.
Now there's a solution by lowering levels of chronic inflammation. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
It's fun to be on the golf course again. I'm able to swing the club freely. Hopefully, I'm hitting better golf shots. Nopalea has allowed me to get back on the golf course, enjoy the game that I love, and maybe even give me that little edge to beat my friends at the game.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to the phones. Philip in Canada, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hello.
Go ahead. You're on the air, Philip.
What's your view on head covering while playing?
Hey, sir, I quick question for you. When's the last time you called?
What do you mean when was the last time?
The last time you called the radio broadcast.
Yesterday.
Ah, yes, sir. With a different name, perhaps. All right, call screeners, try to take a bit more careful look. That, you know, we don't allow anyone to call within a few weeks of the last call, to be fair to others that try to get through, and so that no one person can dominate the phone lines with their agenda. So blessings to you. Feel free to call with the same name you used the first time in a few weeks. Okay, let us go to, also in Canada, Masuti, welcome to the Line of Fire. Are you there? What an interesting day, unless it's the same person with another line open there. Okay, tell you what, interesting question though. How do you stop gambling? How do you stop gambling? Yes. Yeah, so it was Mashuti asking this question. Okay. I have never struggled with gambling in my life. I was addicted to other things, but I was never addicted to gambling. However, the same principles apply. One thing, you cannot cut it back. You must cut it off. Let me say it again. You cannot cut it back. You must cut it off. So you say, okay, I want to get it back to where it's manageable. No, no, no. You never gamble again the rest of your life. That's the reality. In your mind, you have to understand you will never gamble again the rest of your life. If you've become addicted to gambling, putting aside even the ethics of it, should you ever buy a lottery ticket, or putting that aside, okay? If you've been addicted to it, struggled with it, it's hurt you in your life financially and otherwise, okay, you could never do it again. That's your starting point. You have to realize that. If you're not willing to go there, you're not going to get free, okay? God's not just going to take it away for you to open the door again. All right, well, you know, we're sleeping together out of wedlock, so now we'll just cut back to sleeping together once a month. No, 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 you never touch that person again if you're not married to them. That's, you know, you're married to someone else. No, you never touch that. You don't text them, you don't call them. That's over. That's over. So in this case, what I would do is, depending on the level of addiction, the level of struggle, I would make myself accountable to the people that it's most difficult to make myself accountable to. So my spouse, if there's a spouse involved, a pastor, a spiritual overseer, someone that's a mentor in your life, a boss that's a believer, somebody that it's costly for you to make this confession to, and someone that can hold your feet to the fire. Then you sever everything. You get rid of every app. You ask yourself, what are the gateways? Is it watching sports events? Is it going to certain websites? You have to determine you don't go near any of this, especially in the initial months. Get accountability software if it happens online, where your colleague, whoever you put there on the software, they'll know every website you go to. Yeah, these are the kinds of things you have to do. I know it seems radical and extreme. And then you ask the Lord's forgiveness for lack of discipline or wasteful spending, etc. You know, you start there, of course, confessing that and ask for his help. Tell him, Lord, I need your help. In myself, I'm weak. And get some folks to pray with you. You may need to be delivered. There may be a bondage, a satanic bondage that is coming. You need to be set free. But that's how it works. And then you never touch it again. You say, okay, so hang on. If I'm having a game of tennis with a friend and we make a friendly bet that whoever wins pays, gets free lunch. Don't do that. No, don't do that, because that'll open the door. Once you're an addict to something, you don't play with it. You just don't play with it. That is my counsel. Let us go to Samuel in New York. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing well, thanks.
Unfortunately, I couldn't get this question during Passover Sabbath. I hope you had a great Passover with whether fellow Jews or Christians.
Yeah, well, I had actually a great time in Washington, D.C., at the Museum of the Bible, speaking at a Messianic Jewish Passover Seder. So that was great. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, I appreciate it. Well, my question is, how do Jewish people see not having their temple? Since me and myself going through the Old Testament and reading how the temple rules, how it was supposed to be conducted, that many sacrifices went daily, Sabbath, and especially Passovers, I can't imagine like the blood running through like rivers just on Passover.
Yeah.
How do the Jews of nowadays, modern days, see their like not having their temple and not being able to, you know, having that recipe that on top of my head would be having the Levites? It's just like a loaded question. How do they see
Samuel, it's a very natural question to ask from a Christian perspective. So
yes,
secular Jews don't think about it because secular Jews don't think about it because the temple's not an issue to them. Sacrifices, they think, are kind of obsolete. But religious Jews do think about it, and they pray daily for the rebuilding of the temple. Religious Jews pray on a daily basis for the coming of the Messiah and for the rebuilding of the temple and for the regathering of the exiles. And they feel that's how one way that they'll recognize the Messiah is by his regathering the exiles and rebuilding the temple. However, they also believe that in the place of the temple, they have repentance and prayer and charitable deeds. And if they will do those things, then that will take the place of blood sacrifices. Do I believe that personally? No. No, I do not believe that anything can take the place of the blood sacrifices, in particular, the blood sacrifices in that they point to the death of Jesus on the cross as our substitutionary atonement. So I don't agree with that answer, but a traditional Jew would say, yes, we want to see the temple rebuilt, and that would be a good sign of God's favor, and it would enable us to perform all of the commandments of the Torah, many of which we can't perform now. But they would say, as far as atonement, as long as they have in Hebrew, tshuvah, tefillah, and tzedakah, so repentance, prayer, and charitable deeds, that takes the place of the blood sacrifices. So that's how a traditional Jew would answer that. They want to see the temple rebuilt, but they have another means of atonement without blood sacrifices. And they would say that those were always foundational, that blood was important, but never took the place of those elements. I recommend you go to my website, realmessiah.com. If you have the Ask Dr. Brown Ministries app, folks, if you don't have it, download it on any platform you are. Take a minute to download it. Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown Ministries, the app. Scroll down on that, you'll see Real Messiah. Or just go online, realmessiah.com, and you'll find the 100 most common Jewish objections to Jesus with our answers, with full debates I've had with rabbis that touch on many of these subjects, and more. Videos demolishing the false material of counter-missionary Rabbi Tovia Singer, all there on the website. Hey, thank you, Samuel, for the question. Do I have time? All right, let's go over to Raleigh, North Carolina. Ralph, you are on the line of fire.
Ralph is my name, but my question is, do we live on a globe or a stationary plane?
A globe.
What?
Wonderful, sir. I've been waiting for someone to call me who is a flat earth advocate. So please tell me let's start with science. On what scientific basis do you say that we're living on a plane rather than the globe?
But from the word of God, it says that, you know, he separated the water from the water. There is no, you can't tap thrust in a vacuum. They tell us that we go in space and all that mess. It's a
so
lot.
You don't, so hang on. So just to be clear, all of those astronauts who circled the Earth, be it space shuttle, be it others who've taken pictures of the Earth from outer space, you're saying that's all false?
Those pictures, If you go to them, they are not pictures. It says down there in the small print, artist rendition.
Oh, no, sir. Actually, someone lied to you about that, Ralph. Oh, and what do you do with the scripture that says that God sits on the circle of the earth? What do you do with that?
A sphere is not a circle.
But the sphere is not a plane. The chug in Hebrew is something circular. Something circular. It's not a plane. So what would convince you that you might be wrong?
I used to think I was wrong, but I don't anymore because because God said that He put two lights in the firmament.
Ralph, let me ask you this. I don't mean to mock you or disparage you in any way, okay? But do you believe that the earth goes around the sun or that the sun goes around the earth?
No. You can clearly see the sun and the moon move, but you don't see the earth moving.
So you believe that the sun and the moon actually go around the earth, literally, and the earth doesn't move?
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yes, we're on a stationary plane.
Got it. Okay, so listen, friends, I don't mean to mock Ralph, and I wanted to give him an opportunity to speak. But if you want to know why some people feel what they do, you have to throw out all scientific evidence, all of it. You have to throw out all eyewitness testimony, and then you have to read the Bible in a hyper-literal way that the sun actually rises and sets, as opposed to that just being an observational figure of speech. So again, no mocking of the caller. We ask for people to call with their dissenting views, but you see sometimes how some people think. May the Lord give grace.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.